North Iowa's best variety, 95.9 KCHA. Finally, Friday with Community Conversations brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. Kay Winkleman, who do you have sitting next to you?
We have Superintendent Ann Lundquist with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're big discussions going on about the Charles City School District budget, which is what you're in here to talk about. What's first?
It's that time of year, everyone's favorite, springtime, budget time. And so, yes, once again, I jokingly referred to this as budget adjustments, the sequel. Because as you know, we had some budget adjustments about a little over a year ago, about this time. We did change some leadership roles in our district recently, and as part of that, we're able to do a little bit deeper dive into some of the areas of our school district budget, and we're able to get a little bit closer, more detailed picture of our current financial status. And you may be aware that our unspent authorized budget, sometimes they call that unspent balance, UAB, lots of words for it, and solvency ratio are two really key indicators. So as a superintendent, I watch both of those closely. And the unspent balance, probably the closest, right behind it in a close second, solvency ratio. We want that to trend in a fairly steady pattern. So right now, we can say that it's beginning to trend a little downward if we don't take, phase two of this, what I think will probably be a three-year effort. Right now we have about $22 million coming in for the general fund purposes, and we have $23.7 million scheduled to go out. So think about that. If you have $22 and you want to spend $23.70, you'd probably be in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of looking at it that way, but in millions.
So lots of work to do. What's next on this budget?
Well, so here's the good news. We don't foresee cutting any positions, unlike last year where we felt that was necessary. This year, I think if we all tighten our belts up a little bit, and I also jokingly say I'm an equal opportunity offender, because these adjustments are happening all throughout our system. So right now, we had started our fiscal year 23 with a solvency ratio of 15. Today, we're currently at 11. If we do nothing, we'll be down at about 4.8. Now, we know that's not acceptable. We wouldn't want to. Our board policy, in fact, says the floor is 10%. That's about as low as we want to go. Anywhere between 10 and 15 is good. And we could be pretty successful with 8 or 9 for a year or two and maybe work ourselves back up to 10. So we're on track to do that if we make some adjustments across the board. But to understand first, why is that necessary? Remember, school district budgets are built around enrollment. And right now, we enrolled 1,469 students. Now that's a drop of 20 students. That's not phenomenal. In fact, I would say if we look at the last 20 years, we on average, now discount any years where you had a tremendous growth or drop, and maybe in recent years, but just go back 20 years until today, you're gonna see a steady decline on average of 9 students per year. Well, we budget and try to say, well, let's budget for losing 10. Unfortunately, last year we lost 20. Still not a huge deal. 10 students, $7,600 a piece. But this is what's noteworthy about that. In the last 20 years, only 2 years in 20 did more students enroll out than enrolled in. So here's how that works. We count our kids, and if they choose, as is required in Iowa law and has been for decades, to enroll out to a neighboring district, they take their money with them, every penny. Many choose to enroll into Charles City because we have fantastic programs. We're a good-sized district. We've got a lot to offer kids. Twice, now if that's equal, it's a net game of zero. But in 20 years, more kids have chosen to come in than go out in 18 times. 2 years, a few more left than came in. 2 times in 20 years. One time we were down 4, another year we were down 8. Well, guess what happened last October when we did our official count? I mean, they didn't all leave in October, but that's when we do our count. What happened? We had 49 come in, 83 go out.
Okay, so go out because of graduation. Are we talking? Mm-hmm. We're talking about choice mm-hmm. here.
School choice. Students are still compulsory education age. They're still school age students. We are at a net loss of 34 kids. So we add 34 to the 20. Now we're talking something that's a bit of an ouch, right? So we've got to make up for that loss, right?
Can I ask, mm-hmm. and maybe you don't know, why did we lose so many?
Most will say it's just a better fit. Okay. Some will say we just think it's closer to our home, it's a better fit for our family. We ask every parent. Principals make personal phone calls and speak with every single parent that leaves. Many of them, well, not many, a few will not give us any answer. I personally send letters to all of them. Here's what I think we got to be cautious about, folks. Negative chatter, negative narratives, mind that social media. You have no idea how many people approach me and have this false notion we've cut programs or we've cut positions or programs that students no longer have access to. Absolutely false. 100% false. We have people that say, we should look at Osage. They meet with their parents for SIAC in November. They met. It's required in Iowa law to meet once a year. We meet 5 times a year. Why do we meet 5 times? Because we care about your input, right? So regularly we present and tell our story. Folks, we have so many jewels in our crown. Our art program will rival any program you get at the college level. We have a career and technical ed, FFA, that are world renowned. I mean, it's just unbelievable. We have culture climate scores increasing. We have academic scores increasing. We have so many good things going on. I can hardly name them. We have the best kids in this part of the country, and we have the best teachers. But here's what we can do. If we can kind of combat that, we can get our numbers back where they need to be. This could be a blip. Let's hope this is a blip on the radar screen. And let's do everything we can to tout the positive things going on in our district. I don't know, that trivia night last week, that was a big success, right? I mean, I could go on and brag about the stories and the things that we have going. But with a few proposed adjustments, we can tighten our belts and save somewhere in the neighborhood of $900,000. And those are your tax dollars, right? So that's going to be general fund for the most part. Here's the caveat. Our special education programs often cost more than we are allowed from the state. So our allocations from the state are often less than, the revenue is less than the actual expenditure. The programs are sometimes more costly. Our state historically has not financed schools well, and you know that as referenced by a 2 or 3% increase when we see what the cost of living has done. I will pay the teacher the same to educate 24 students in a classroom at that high school as I will for 18 or 16. And they all need that class, right? So there are things we really can't control. Now, the good news is we provide for all of our special education students, but when we do, to the best of our ability within reason, that creates a deficit. And typically our deficit for special education should be around $500,000. That's somewhat typical. And we can kind of buffer that and plan for that into the future with our property tax. A cash reserve levy is what funds your special education deficit. This year, it is $1,200,000 deficit. So what that means is about a 50-cent increase in property tax. That's the only means we have in Iowa school finance for covering a deficit in special education, which, remember, is different than our general fund, and which is different than our PEPL or our building project funds, right? Because we've been talking, you and I, for a couple of years now about all manner of things in our school district. So you kind of see these different pots of money are pretty specific. But at $13.38, that's reasonable. Probably should maybe stay that way for a year or two until we can get a handle on some of that. We can always lower it a bit, and we do review that each year. And I predict moving into next year, you may see, what would it be if it's not a sequel, Kay? If it's not a sequel, a trequel?
That's a good question.
A third reference, Chris, maybe you can help these girls out over here. A third reference for year number three, when we can right size, we may see another $500,000 to $700,000 in, you know, tightening the belts. But the good news is we're being efficient with your dollars. You will see bus routes slightly reduced. We have historically gone above and beyond what the Iowa law requires. We had 4 shuttles operating for children. That's about $4 a mile. We really can't sustain that. We're going to adjust that. We're going to have a shuttle in the morning and a shuttle in the afternoon, and we'll go from 4 attendance centers. You live in the neighborhood, hustle your kiddos out the door. They get on a bus, no charge. Now, we're not required to transport unless they're 2 to 3 miles out, but if you're a working parent, that could be a real important factor. Now, here's another factor. I took advantage of the shuttle because it was easy and it was right at the end of my street. I can just as easily hop in the car and take my kiddos, and then they don't have to walk to an attendance center to pick up a ride. I could drive myself, and I could maybe take a neighbor student or two. There, you might see more carpooling. But the savings for that change is almost $60,000 a year. We're cutting back on one of our part-time custodians. We're going to adjust our insurance package, which exceeds, for our licensed teachers, certified staff, exceeds any neighboring district, and we contacted more than 20. A district our size cannot sustain 3/4 of the family insurance costs. As you know, insurance is skyrocketing. Now, we can pay some, though, and so we're going to go with a 4-tier structure. Instead of all of our support staff, all of our teachers get fully paid single. We can pay a portion of their family in the neighborhood of $900 maybe, and then have some input from them that might be $400, $500, or $600 out of their pocket, which is still quite reasonable. And it's got a great product. We've been using it and we've been very satisfied with it. So it's good quality insurance. We're going to maybe size down our paraeducators. We're going to maybe have some come in and help out with the kids before school, be there when the kids are there, and then maybe leave at the end of the day when the kids leave. Others might come on the job right as the kids are walking in the door, and then they can stay after school, do the PM support. That change alone is $100,000.
Wow.
Savings. I know. And yet everyone still has their job. They may work 30 minutes to 1 hour less. And an hourly rate, you know, your paycheck could be a few hours short, but we still have a job, we still have single insurance provided, we still have so much to offer. IPERS, as you know, a wonderful retirement program. So we're trying to make adjustments and be conscientious stewards with tax dollars and still maintain those positions in a really sensible way.
And not only that, but continue to, you know, those paras are exceptionally important to the kids. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, the parents and the kids who count on those paras. So We need them.
We absolutely do. And they are just, I was speaking about jewels in our crown. I tell you, you want to walk through these schools and look and see, it's just as if boys and girls have three or four dads and moms looking over them throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I see them bending down and wiping noses and talking patiently and making eye contact and redirecting and kids off and cheerful. I mean, it is really like their family at school. Paras are critical to our student success, as are our teachers. School secretaries, front office, they're all going to have a, you know, about a 10-day cutback. So we're all going to try and tighten our belts and see if this doesn't get us through. And then, folks, there may be yet one more year of some minor changes, but by and large, we're in a good spot. We've got a 10% solvency ratio, that's pretty solid. We keep an eye on not spending down that cash. We can carry over our spending authority, and it just keeps us wide open. So yes, it's all good. The forecast is good, although I will tell you, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train, because we're taking action now.
Good deal. Well, lots of hard work for sure, but thank you very much for you and the board for doing all you can for that.
Absolutely.
And the students here
in
Charles City.
It's a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you here in a few weeks.
I will be back, and in fact, when I come back, you're not going to listen to myself. You're going to get to listen to some kiddos who have some fantastic, our performing arts students. Talk about second to none. Our music programs, our fine arts programs, amazing. So you're going to get some student performers joining.
We love it. We love student performers. Well, thank you very much, Ann Lundquist, for joining us, and have a terrific weekend.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.